I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 29. And welcome back to the show, Nate Lavender.
Hello.
Hello. Nate, tonight we continue on our theme of NASCAR, because I can't get away from it, because I can't find any cars in the high 20s that are just not non-NASCAR cars.
Oh, I have a great one for you in case
you... Yeah, well, this one is going to blow your mind. Tonight,
let's hear it.
From 1997.
Oh,
the Chevrolet Monte Carlo of Jeff Green and the Cartoon Network.
Clap, clap, Sean. Okay,
isn't that fast? Like, you know, we had the Tom and Jerry car. We had the Flintstones. Right? We had the Scooby-Doo cars. Oh, fantastic!
Classics. Yeah,
classics. Yeah. All right. And they crossed over multiple series where the drivers ran. Some ran in ARCA with them. Some ran in Busch at the time. And then also in Cup. So Jimmy Spencer was the most, I would say the most famous of the cars in the Cup series. So anyways, all right, here we go. Another week of NASCAR. Hoping next week we can get out of the NASCAR theme, but we'll see. We shall see. On tonight's show, we'll talk Cup racing, cutoff race for the playoffs. At the aptly sponsored Bass Pro Shops race at under the lights at Bristol Motor Speedway. I have no problem with this. The only problem I have is stages. I don't like the playoffs cutoff thing, but anyways. But it was almost classic race. We will also...
I would say so, very much so.
We'll dive into a recap of the Suzuka 1,000 kilometer race at the Suzuka circuit in Japan. For you fans out there, GT3 cars, fantastic. We'll delve into the European Le Mans series returns to Silverstone. And, wow. Driving standards there were brutal. And then we'll talk some news and notes. We'll talk about the released IndyCar schedule and see if there's any other tidbits that we can pick up on. Nate, let's go to Bristol.
Yes, sir. And it's good to be back after a two-week hiatus.
I know. Well, great. Glad to have you back.
Yes, and think about this too.
What is Bristol's nickname?
The world's fastest half mile.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Call it what you want, right?
It's the bull ring. It's the bull ring.
Yeah, for NASCAR, I would say it's a bull ring. You know,
it's bull ring. Similar, Lime Rock is the bull ring of road racing.
Yeah, because I'm kind of like giving a little hint on what happened in the race. The tire fall off part of this race made it very, very exciting.
Very, very exciting.
And it kind of brought back the traditional Bristol racing that happened in NASCAR's prime, I would say.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Because, I mean, when Bristol was reconfigured, it just turned the racing into something that is so not uncharacteristic of Bristol. Apparently the high side started working and couldn't really make any moves. And
they even sprayed that sealant on the track too.
Which I liked, you know, because that it shows they're trying, you know, and it's not my favorite, but they're, you know.
I hate when they do that, but
anyway. It's an effort. You know,
but I will say the tire deck did make a difference in the race.
It sure did. And you almost saw it right away with our pole sitter, AJ Allmendinger. And big congrats to AJ Allmendinger.
The dinger.
Surprise. Surprise pole.
The dinger. Does he qualify for the Bush pole, the Bush clash next year?
That's a great question. I believe so.
Because back in the day, it was only the pole sitters qualified.
Yeah, which that's what it still should be. But
in the new kindler, gentler NASCAR, you know.
Oh, dare I say it? I don't think it even matters because everybody qualifies for the Great Roman Gray Race, and they do this silly stage. And see how bad it's changed. We need to go back to Daytona and have the actual Bush Clash there.
Yep, 100%. So
and just pole winners.
Back to the race.
Sorry, had to get that out.
Fine. Yeah.
But anyway, to the race we go. And actually, I would say one of the first. Not victims, but first people to experience the bad tire wear was AJ Allmendinger. I think he might have had something going down, but it was kind of the prologue to what the night was going to become because the tire fall off, as soon as you had bad tires or the tire was at its wit's end, you were rolling like a rock. And it was not worth it to stay out.
AJ finished 36th. With a DNF,
he didn't finish the race.
He did finish in front of Chase Elliott.
And Chase Elliott had a nightmare night. This almost kicked him out of the playoffs. Because Alex Bowman had to make some positions up. SVG was not having a great night. So it's kind of like, okay, you know, SVG is not having a good night, but Alex Bowman could win and kick his teammate out of the playoffs. That was a real possibility. But it ended up being where Chase Elliott just, did get enough points to advance further.
Granted, the SVG didn't go on, but the worst night of all was Josh Berry.
Yes. Yeah. So. And, you know, I'm an SVG fan. You know, he's an incredible talent in the Cup Series. And I was really hoping to see him in this playoff to see what would happen in the Roval in what is it, two weeks time.
He can still win the race.
He can still win the race and you know have an amazing look back on an amazing year of multiple wins.
But this is where I do not like the chase because, in all honesty,
right.
If there was no chase, I bet you $5 SVG probably would have been running a little more conservatively and probably would have probably had higher finishes and still been in the points battle. That's just my take.
I almost contradict that almost because I almost see SVG coming to the Cup Series because of this format.
Really?
Okay. I really kind of believe it was a selling point from Trackhouse to SVG. Look, NASCAR is getting more road courses. You'd be more eligible to get into the playoffs. If they add more road courses, it's
well, a better there's only, chance for you I'll to... Be honest, there's only
they're so adding Watkins Glen to the playoffs next year.
Well, that's fine. You know what I mean? Yeah,
what I'm saying.
No. They're adding it to the playoffs, but they're taking it out of the regular season, so it's one less race for SVG to potentially qualify in.
But if he wins one race, he's in, not five.
Well, right. But yeah, so he's got to win at Sonoma, basically.
Right. Coda, whatever.
Oh, yeah, Coda. Yeah. But you know,
yes, so, they actually go there.
I know. I forgot. Yeah, I just because every time I watch that race, it's just like a crash fest. But
so anyway, so we get on to the race. Ty Gibbs was shown to be a player, and in stage one, I would say it was bad luck after bad luck after bad luck for Josh Berry, you know, and now he retires because now the car is on fire, you know. It's just he couldn't even make the first half of all three races. It was just just terrible luck. I was actually very surprised. I thought between the three races, I thought Josh Berry would actually do very well at Darlington. He qualified well and crashed on lap one. Another short track, Bristol. He's a short track guy. Came up through the ranks in short track racing, and so I thought Bristol might have been this last chance effort to maybe win a race, because I mean, for him at this point, it was a must win, and and now, you know, the final nail in the coffin really is that, you know, that this happened. Very unfortunate. Yeah. Really, was really hoping for the Wood Brothers to win. The last time the Wood Brothers won at Bristol was with Elliott Sadler when he was in the 21 car. I believe in 2001.
Got it. Wait a minute. One at Bristol?
Yes, the Food City 500.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate. Still not the Food City 500.
Yeah, no
that
was, kidding.
That's a good name. I like that.
Oh yeah, I have also my NASCAR history.
Also a sponsor of Senior. Dale, yes.
Dale, yeah. And so the race began, starting to show it was going to be a survival race. I would say, not necessarily for, you know, playoff drivers, for other drivers too. And new factors started coming up. Like, for example, Zane Smith was having a really great run throughout most of the race. He actually would even become a factor come the end of the race, I would say. But there was, let's see, Alex Bowman, he would spin and actually be the second caution of the race.
Bowman the showman.
Yeah. And then, you know, afterwards, Chase Elliott would retire from the race. And SBG, he even spun out, causing a caution.
Yeah, he had a couple spins, actually.
Yeah. So it wasn't going to be SVG's night.
No, it wasn't going to be SVG's night. But anyways, he accounted for himself well.
And then he did his best, did what he could.
But Nate, it's your guy. It was your guy. Keselowski.
He had a chance. And you know what kills me? He caused his own that last caution. It was, oh my gosh.
Would Brad admit to this?
No.
No.
But because guess what? That when what was it? Oh yeah, he got into lap traffic of Cole Custer, who in turn hit Bubba Wallace, and Bubba Wallace hit the wall hard, causing the caution with 13 laps to go. He had
Bubba DNF.
Yep. And I just I knew it was going to be, you know, here we are. You know,
yeah,
people are going to get fresh tires, and it's kind of, I kind of saw the handwriting in the wall. Okay, this is not going to be Keselowski's night, but he did, you know, did what he could, and gosh, he even gave it everything he could on that last lap. But I got it on the last restart.
Yeah.
Christopher Bell made an amazing three-wide move out of two guys desperately trying to get their first win in the Cup Series, Carson Hocevar and Zane Smith.
Yep.
Zane Smith goes a little wide, maybe contact from Christopher Bell, but makes a three-wide pass for the lead, and he has to go because other drivers are on newer tires, such as Brad Keselowski.
Keselowski.
Bad Brad. And he was catching him, and he was catching him. And on the last lap, he had the opportunity to get to him. He put the bumper to him. It wasn't enough. Christopher Bell would come to the finish line to take the Bristol Night Race. And
I will say this, Christopher Bell, standing golf clap on the burnout show on the front straightaway.
Yes.
Yeah, well done.
And I'll tell you, even Denny Hamlin at Gateway, it was a Gibbs Racing sweep this part of the playoffs. Really incredible stuff.
Except for
Denny Hamlin and now Christopher Bell.
Except there was one person that didn't sweep a race.
And who's that?
It's Ty Gibbs.
Oh yeah, can we call it now the weak link of the team? The one driver of the Joe Gibbs Racing team that's not in the playoffs.
He is like Austin and Ty Dillon's cousin. He might be their stepbrother.
He might be their stepbrother. I mean, at this point, it's becoming apparent.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. Oh, fantastic. Bell was definitely class of the show.
Oh, and I gotta give a quick tip of the hat to Corey Heim. Highest Corey finishing Heim? 23-11 yep. driver with a career yep. best sixth place finish in the Cup Series.
That is correct.
Part-time driver. He's only done a couple of Cup starts, and so that's, you know, very well worth
good,
noting.
Good on him. That's quite true. So congrats to him.
Yes. Right. And a little, really quick, Zane Smith, the front row of motorsports is
three.
Not
three.
You know, he came third in third. Place. So that's yep. that's an incredible run for that team as well.
Well done. I mean, because it is. I was going to say something about pit stops and strategy, but with stage racing, it doesn't matter. Anyway,
it doesn't matter. What strategy? Yeah. What? You know, well, like, the caution's coming.
Yeah. That's the thing. All right. Before we move on to a recap of the standings, because we have a reset this weekend. It is the USA Today 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
Magic Mile.
Now, will the winner get a lobster here?
Yes.
Because this is the only New Hampshire race this year, correct?
Yeah, you get a lobster.
You get the lobster. Right. You get this ginormous lobster.
Yeah.
Let's say this. If you like lobster, a lobster that is over 4 pounds is not tasty. The meat is very tough. So this 30-pound crustacean that they give out, it's like they all yuck it up. Oh, you know, get this little lobster. I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
that's just my take. I like lobster, but I'm not. I know my lobsters. All right.
Hey, you know, it's. I feel like you, Gordon Ramsay. You know, other. You know, people that know about I don't know if he knows about lobster. Emerald Live, I don't know. You know okay. what I mean? So Martha Stewart, do they know about lobsters? I don't know.
Might. All right, let's move to the standings. Revised now that we're into the next stage of the playoffs?
The round of 12 on.
The round of 12. Your leader is Denny Boo Hamlin.
Dennis.
And then we have William Byron. Young Money.
Yeah. Larson.
I'm glad Kyle can fit in some NASCAR racing instead of all the sprint car racing this year.
Right. What a guy.
Christopher Bell, who's done a little bit of midget racing during the year.
Another dirt guy.
My guy. Well, besides Larson, my guy, Ryan Blaney. Fifth. Chase Briscoe,
everyone's favorite.
Chase Elliott stays alive. So does Darrell Wallace. Austin Cindric. Logano. Gross.
And Ross Chastain, the watermelon
Ross
man.
Chastain, that's fine. And Tyler Reddick is alive.
Right now.
Tyler is on the cut line.
Well, for the top 12, but for as far as the, you know, get trying to figure out the top eight, Bubba Wallace and Austin Syndergaard, the bubble drivers, I would say eighth and ninth.
I would say any of those from Daryl down to Tyler are on the bubble.
Yeah. Well,
I see eight through 12. So our four who did not make it, Alex Bowman, unfortunately. I still mystified how this clown even got in. Austin Dillon.
One Richmond race later.
Yep, I know. SVG and Josh Berry.
Yes. But
Josh Berry, he was our Daytona 500 winner? What did he win?
I'm sorry.
What race did Josh win? What race?
He won Las Vegas. Las Vegas.
Okay, for the Wood Brothers. Right?
Yes.
No, his name's
just
Smith.
One race.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, there we go. All right, so we're off to New Hampshire next. So let's see what happens. This might be the race Bad Brad wins.
Oh, God. Yeah, come on. Come on, Bad Brad.
All right, Bad Brad. All right. is our other person here? Christian? Back?
Yep.
Hey, welcome back. All right, let's skip over the Suzuka race. We'll come back to that. Let's quickly talk about ELMS. They returned to 4 hours of racing at Silverstone. I think this is a precursor to next year with the WEC returning. So very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats to IDEX Sport with the overall win, but also a class win at the same time. And you might ask how, because they don't have an all-pro lineup.
That's right. They're Pro-Am.
They're Pro-Am, but they took the overall win. Nate, very excited to know that Andretti Autosport alumnus Jamie Chadwick led the team to a win.
Very nice.
With her teammates Matthew Joubert and this guy. I love this guy. Danny Yukadella. I love him. I want to see Yukadella versus Danny Formel.
Wait, who's the Am in this lineup?
I think it's Joubert.
All right.
I know. This lineup is stacked. Jeez. And I think this lineup is somewhat two-thirds of it. This was supposed to be where erstwhile American superstar Logan Sargeant was supposed to be driving.
Mm.
And then he backed out.
Right. Oh, I did hear about this. But there was always these rumors too that he was going to IndyCar, and that didn't even happen
that
either.
Didn't ring out. So now the big rumor is that he might end up at McLaren in their hypercar program.
Oh, oh boy!
All right.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
If they want to crash a lot, sure. I mean, that sounds nice.
And then, our favorite guy, our favorite podcast fan from Florida, Nate. You know who I'm talking about.
Idea.
Come on. It's not me.
I was going to say, isn't it Christian Abbott? Christian.
No.
The other
guy from South Florida. Come on, Nate. Don't let us down.
It's not Ryan Eversley in Atlanta. It's not
friend of the show.
Friend of yeah.
Matt Katarski.
Yes.
Yes. Matt's favorite team and his dad's favorite team. I still love his dad, though. Interpol Eurosport.
Right.
Competition. Second.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Karen. Yeah. That is still the best. Matt talking about his dad. A proud Polish citizen. I mean, proud Polish ancestry. It was awesome. That was one of the best shows we had.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. He's a character.
Then we had Vector Sport. We had Pietro Fittipaldi finishing third. IDEX Sport's second car. Jesus Christ. I mean, you just look at the driver lineups and these things. Was fourth. Let's scroll down to if I can find the GT cars. Holy crap. I don't know where they are.
Yeah, I want to come back to your your comment there on some of the lineups of these cars.
Yeah, no. I mean, here's one. Felipe Albuquerque.
Yep.
And Ferdinand Habsburg. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, AO by TF. Otherwise, no, this is Rexy, Spike, and the rest of the gang from AO Sports. PJ Hyatt, who is the Ben Keating, the equivalent of Ben Keating. Mm-hmm. Louis Deltraz and Dan Cameron.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to race those two, if my life depended on it. Oh, both Phillips Pauly brothers drove this weekend. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I think I found it. Hold on. I apologize. Sorry for my dumbness there.
The website is not organized.
It's not friendly to...
You know what? I'm a motorsport.com and I should know better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should know better, but it was like the only one I could find. Anyways, now the whole screen's messed up. Okay, hold on. GT3. Hold on. I just want to find out. Oh my god, somebody drove a Ginetta in LMP3. That's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, there's a couple places. Different LMP3 manufacturers out there.
Yeah, Ginetta, Ligier.
Duquesne.
Hold on, I'm scrolling down to our 25th place car. It was the... Oh, and they won the championship. I forgot about this. The Richard Mille AF Corsa Ferrari of Lili Wadu. She won. So she's a champion.
Cool. Well, congrats to the champions.
Yes. Very, very good. Oh, good to know Dan Cameron raced two cars this weekend.
Yeah.
I always appreciate those kind of drivers. That just run two classes.
That's crazy. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Bad weekend for Iron Lynx and Iron Dames.
Am I good to circle back to your point about some of these driver lineups being fantastic?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So all of this considered, the way the race unfolded, you would have thought it was a junior category race.
I would have thought it would have been a NASCAR race at Bristol.
As if that didn't happen last weekend, right?
No, Nate, there wasn't anybody taking it. I mean, like, this thing was like literally guys running into each other.
Yeah.
That bad?
So the big one was...
Yeah, there was a big one.
Yes. So... There was the Iron Lynx Mercedes, yeah, and I think it was a Ferrari GT3 car. Those two cars came out of the left field. Oh, and just for clarification, they did not use the Formula One pit lane. I think it's called the National Pits.
So
what the old start finish straight used to be.
Yes, it's the proper Silverstone track.
So, they came out of Luffa, which is the final corner, and then down the straightaway. And when they go through the kink, the two GT3 cars are more or less bumper to bumper. And then two LMP2 cars are coming up on them. As they approach them into the kink, they split the GT3 cars and the LMP2 car that was on the outside. The Ferrari just moved gradually up into it because, you know, that's where the edge of the track is anyways. And the car on the inside, you just try to give room there, just clipped the LMP2 a little bit, which unsettled it, but also the LMP that was on the outside, but also this LMP2, it did not look like it was going to take avoiding action regardless, because the Mercedes that was in front of the Ferrari, the LMP2 did not clear the Mercedes at all and just ran right into its rear and shipped the Mercedes GT3 off into the grass and into the barriers, wrecked it.
Oh boy.
And actually, I shouldn't say the barriers, the guardrail, wrecked it.
Guardrail.
And then, yeah, so that was the first red flag that came out. Keyword
next
first.
One was even, and next one was even worse. The next one was on the hangar straight.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was massive.
Yeah. That one, it's two LMP2 cars and one LMP3 car, where, again, the LMP2 cars try and split the LMP3 car, or I guess the slower class car, and just one car moves and hooks the other and just absolutely wrecks the LMP3 into the wall on is it the hangar straight? Yeah. Right near where the bridge is.
He went from one side of the track to the other, and it went into the wall unabated.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh.
So that was the second red flag that came out. And then towards the end of the race it started raining, and then with like less than 10 minutes to go of the race, they pulled the red flag again, because I guess conditions were worse. Yeah. So even now, though the racing in the wet was actually really good.
Okay. So I am, as we are potting here, I like to have some racing stuff on in the background. I am watching the Goodwood Revival, which is vintage car racing. This is the TT Celebration race. A lot of wealthy car owners in this who then decide that their co-drivers will be pro drivers. So the likes of Tom Christensen, Jimmy Johnson, Dario Franchitti, Damon Hill is actually here. Jensen Button is driving in this. They are whisking around in $100,000 Jaguar XKEs and such in the wet with the windshield wiper technology of the 50s and 60s. And then this is the same time this was going on at Silverstone. And they don't seem to be crashing the cars. And these things are skating all over the place. So, just difference in driver standards.
Just a notable difference.
Notable. And I wouldn't want to be driving these things in the rut, but I mean, Jesus, God almighty. Beautiful. And they're hustling these things. Holy crap. Anyways. All right. So that covers the LMS return. That's, like we said, precursor to WEC, I believe, returning to Silverstone next year. That'll be fun. Hopefully better driving standards.
Well, Sean, it's the World Endurance Championship.
Right. Well, that's true. All right. let's get on to the, probably, I would say this was the biggest race of the weekend. The return of the 1,000-kilometer race at Suzuka. Which I was waiting with this with bated breath, actually, because this is a classic endurance race. And the lineups in this were outstanding. Nate, from the world of IndyCar, we had Scott McLaughlin.
Really?
Driving,
oh, that's good. Yeah,
who was driving a Corvette Z06 for JMR Motorsports.
Very nice.
With Alexander Sims and Nicky Katsberg. Not a sucky lineup. We also had Team WRT here with their BMWs. The doctor was not here for this race. That's unfortunate.
Was he in the doctor's office? I'm sorry.
He was at the MotoGP. So the good doctor wasn't here. But your overall winner, and team has been dominating in SRO GT Challenge, Team WRT with Raphael Marcelli and Kelvin Vandelender with the win. Second was Absolute Racing, Porsche 911, with Vantor Lawrence, Kevin Estre, and Patrick Pile. That's a very amateuristic driving lineup there. Third was said Corvette of Alexander Sims, Nikki Katzberg, and Scott McLaughlin. There you go, Nate.
Love it.
Wait, isn't that exciting?
Yeah, no, very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. All right. And the like, Suzuka Sub-1000 has been going on for a while. And so this is
a circle race
for a lot of drivers.
This is a return to the global platform. So, whereas it was more domestic over the last few years. However, the good folks at the SRO and their friendly folks in Japan who hosted the race did make a couple exceptions for this race, which I was excited about. As we had three Nissan GTR Nismo GT3 cars. Otherwise known as Godzilla.
Right.
All right. And then this one, this is what Christian's been waiting for all day. Unfortunately, this car was like one of the first cars to unfortunately end up going out of the race, but I don't know how the hell it hung around like it did, but it was the Callaway Corvette C7R.
Yeah.
So this was a front engine Corvette. Old school proper. But this was a Callaway one, not the Pratt and Miller job. And for the first hour and a half of the race, it held off McLaughlin's car big time.
Nice.
And it sounded amazing.
Sure it did.
And then they were talking about the Nissans and how no one wanted to drive in back of them because the fumes that those things were giving off would like just suck into your car.
Gosh. Yeah.
Wow. It's awesome. Anyway, so
using the steer clear.
They came up 23 kilometers short. Oh, 13 kilometers short of the 1,000 kilometers because it's similar to the ELMS. There was a couple of some bad driving standards. Anyways, do you want to comment on those, Christian?
No, I can't.
No. For fear that the podcast will be canceled. Anyways.
No, I can't comment because I didn't see anything more than half the first lap.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, but this fantastic race. Mm-hmm. A lot of these cars are going to be at Indy in about a little less than a month. For the Indianapolis 8 hours, which follows the Indianapolis 6 hours, which is upcoming this weekend.
Yep, this week.
I think so. The Battle of the Bricks.
Battle of the Bricks for IMSA.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So let's kind of move into that. We'll move off of this into what's upcoming. We mentioned NASCAR at here in New England. For those of us in New England, for the USA Today 301, and the winner gets the ginormous lobster. Very excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
Nate and I talked about the lobster.
And yeah,
it's really not
you know,
it's not really not
your first
it's
choice
not
for
super
lobster.
Edible. Yeah, it's not my first choice. All right. Okay, let's big news of the day. IndyCar revealed their 2026 schedule. Hold on. I have now arrived at the schedule. I very much like the schedule. I wish there was one thing that they did. Probably the Boston Consulting Group suggested that they didn't do it. But anyways, we start off in the streets of St. Petersburg as usual. Nate, very excited, I know. And I know what else is exciting to you. The NASCAR
Rally there. No, is it? I mean, we'll see how it goes. That kind of surprised how that was even a thought on the truck schedule.
I think I'm a little miffed at the probability that
the Mazdas get bumped.
Yeah, the Mazdas are getting bumped.
Bumped. Yeah.
Well, right. How are the Mazdas not racing there, but trucks are?
Well, they're both technically IMSA series, so we're gonna roll with trucks.
NASCAR.
Yeah.
Depending on who you're asking, right?
But yeah. Boy, I hope those guys bring a boy. I hope they build that into the budget for next season. If you're a NASCAR truck owner,
well, and not just that, but I would look for. I'm hoping maybe there's someone that's doing the double, right? You know, now, like Connor Daly.
No, that won't happen.
It won't happen.
No. Because less than 5 days later, they have to be in Phoenix. Now, this is where I'm kind of like, really?
True.
You're going from a street course where there's a high probability of some type of damage, okay? And then we're going to race an oval 6 days later.
Right.
Across the country.
With NASCAR again.
Right.
Well, I mean, the other bit of it.
It's not with NASCAR. It's not that it's with NASCAR. It's just, does that make any sense?
Well, but it's the whole whole month of March. It's four races in a row.
I know.
I was going to say that what they might do is send a different car out to Phoenix.
This isn't NASCAR. They don't have like $1 million budgets. Other than Penske.
Right, but I mean, there's...
Right. Yeah, I don't see... There's
a street course car, right? I mean, I figured there's at least those...
But everybody has...
There's at least... If the teams can afford it, there will at least be a speedway versus road course car.
Yeah. No, I got it. An oval car versus the road course car, but... I don't... Anyways.
So, and...
Whatever.
And I mean, yeah, I'm sure teams will probably drag out the.
You're going from Central Florida all the way across. Kristen, they got to come by you. You could stand on the bridge and wave to them as they go by Destin.
I know.
But think about it, right, Sean? They go from Florida back to Indianapolis, then to Phoenix.
No, they're not even going back to Indianapolis.
I don't even think they're going right out to Phoenix. I think they're going right out.
No kidding.
You're just taking
I-10 all the way out there.
Well, but then it gets even worse because the following weekend, I have no idea how they're doing this. The following weekend, they have to be in Arlington,
right,
Texas,
which I mean, another street course. It's a shorter drive than going all the way back.
What are you doing? Are they dropping the cars off in Arlington and then going to Phoenix?
Probably. Actually, that would make some logistical sense. Actually.
Wait, they're going to put them on the car covers and leave them outside in a parking lot in Dallas, Texas.
Well,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
They're going to have 52 easy ups, 10 by 20. They're going to put the car underneath it. And we'll be back in a month.
Well,
too soon.
Actually, here's one logistical question. Pit boxes at Phoenix. Most of them are going to be dominated by NASCAR. So where's all the IndyCar stuff going to go?
Right in garage space.
It's gonna be like the WEC at IMSA. They're gonna have to pull the boxes back.
IndyCar's racing at night, and then next day is the Cup Series race.
Well, they can pull stuff back, but I'm sure teams like Penske are gonna share the same box, so they don't have to do that.
That's the only team.
But you never know. IndyCar teams could have asked NASCAR teams to share some of the equipment or see if they can do some stuff.
What are you going to share?
The same stuff.
What stuff?
It's not everything, but it's the small stuff that you can share.
You're right. And the 72 guys from Honda that stand on the Ganassi pit wall, like, they're not going to be sitting in Dale Jr.'s skybox pit stand. I mean, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, the NASCAR boxes are more like spectator viewing things than they are IndyCar, which is almost like the IMSA one. I mean, there's so many engineers.
I get it. But you gotta figure it out. So this is when was the last time they did something like this?
I think what they're gonna figure out is the NASCAR guys are going to have to, they're going to like all weekend, the NASCAR guys aren't going to have their pit boxes set up until, I guarantee you, race day. I guarantee you.
When was the last time IndyCar and NASCAR did a doubleheader?
They haven't.
No, come on. They've had it done this before.
No, they haven't. Nope. Never have.
Damn.
This is all because of Fox.
Oh, true. Yeah, they're going to be on Fox.
Yeah. Well, you pointed out a great thing. I mean, I don't know how many races we got. Hold on a second.
Well, it's four races in March, back to back.
No, I know. Back. Oh, 17 IndyCar races, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. So 25% of the season is done by March 30th. And then we have, you know, they are on the road all the way. So they go, first 3 weeks, they go Florida, Arizona, Texas. They have a week off. So they get to go back to, this is even dumber. They have a week off. And they go from Texas to Indianapolis. Instead of going across Texas, what's the next state after Texas?
Out west, going back? Talking?
Huh?
In which direction?
Going east.
North.
Well, east you have Arkansas and Louisiana.
Okay, yeah. So you just got to go across Arkansas, across Louisiana to Barber. But they're going to drive all the way to Indianapolis and then all the way back down. I mean, if I was a truck driver, I'd be suing for this.
So NASCAR and IndyCar did share a weekend once before
was
in 2020. Nope. It was Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The road course. IndyCar and the Xfinity Series raced on the same day, and then the next day. No, but that did happen. Right. It did happen.
All right. Okay.
This is the second time ever.
I think it's going to be the same thing. It's like they're going to tell the NASCAR guys, you guys can come up and bring your battery powered tire changers.
Oh.
And that's it.
Hold on. The IndyCar race is on Saturday.
Yes.
The Cup race is on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
So the only thing going on Saturday is Cup qualifying, and they're going to have to roll out an easy up, and that's about it.
So, right. So what do you think? So I think
it's going to look like, and I'm not.
It's going to be a night race.
I'm not demeaning the guys from NHKA, and we ran with them, but it's going to look like our paddock with 10 easy ups all over the place for the Cup race.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
No, the Cup race isn't on Saturday.
It's on Sunday, but it's the on Cup Sunday, practice and qualifying. Anyways, but I just like Nate. I get to your point. Like the quarter of the season's gone by the end of March.
Right. Right. Yeah, and then we go into April, and then you know what is
April? It? April. One race, Long Beach.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Mid-April. Then we come back to Indianapolis. We're there for the entire month. We have the
technically, but yeah. Well,
three quarters of a month. Because we get to go. Oh, gee. All right. So, So May 24th. Okay. So May 9th, we have the Speedway, and we're not knocking this. I mean, I'm kind of excited for the IndyCar season. I'm just like, why? What is this rush to get the entire season done? We have great. Now my calendar just came up, and I have no idea why. Because I pressed on it. All right. May 9th, we have the Grand Prix on the road course. Then we have two weeks of practice and qualifying. We have Memorial Day, the 24th. Well, Sunday, Memorial Day, the 110th Indianapolis 500. And then the following week, we have the Streets of Detroit. And then right after that, we go to Worldwide Technology.
Yeah, three weeks in a row in the Midwest.
Right. So then they come back. Then Then we come back to Indianapolis, refresh, go to Road America. We have 2 weeks off and we get to go to Mid-Ohio.
4th of July weekend.
Yep. And then this again, this is where it gets even dumb. Well, no, Nashville is on its own. Fine. There's a couple weeks there. Then we go to Portland. Care to guess where we go? Care to guess where we go after Portland? Anyone?
1 week later.
Yeah.
1 week later.
Not Toronto.
Well, it is,
but it isn't.
It is, but it isn't. And the reason it's there is because Honda has a huge facility in Markham. That's why it's there.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Which is fine, because if the race was going to be in Toronto, the World Cup's there, and that's just going to mess everything up.
Right.
Well, you know.
That's right.
Then we're off a week, and then this is where I see. This is what makes no sense. August 9th, we're in Portland. Why not on August 16th go to Laguna Seca? Okay, right.
Yeah, then I hear you.
And we can travel back. And then we can travel back. The cars get back. We can switch them out. We're gonna go road course, in Toronto. On the 16th, on say the 29th. Well, yeah, So on the 29th, the weekend of the 29th, go to Toronto. The following weekend, it might be Labor Day, I'm not 100% certain, the 5th and 6th, finish the season in Milwaukee with a doubleheader.
Oh, can you imagine finishing a championship with a doubleheader?
I was telling Christian, if that was the weekend, like doubleheader, I would go.
I would try everything in my power to go.
Because it's downtown Milwaukee and the track's awesome.
And isn't it one of the oldest ovals in the world?
It is, but it's just the whole setup there is fantastic.
That's cool.
But, you know, hey.
But you know what I say, bring back New Hampshire for IndyCar.
I know. I always love reading Marshall Pruitt's, like, race their mailbag, and there's always some, you know, guy, why can't they come to Lime Rock?
What?
IndyCar at Lime Rock. Are you kidding me?
The craziest thing I did see there was LMP1 cars.
Oh. We did see
that. That was
No, insane. We did see it. But if the only way anything's going to Lime Rock is if they ever built the mountain course, that's the only way. That's never going to happen in our lifetime.
Right.
So, anyways. I mean, very great tracks here. Love this. Love where they're going. The schedule, I don't get.
Kind of condensed. A little bit too much, you think?
A little too much.
And my thing is, I'm very open-minded about this. You know, my whole stink is bring the triple crown back, right? I want Pocono. I want Michigan. You know, that's just me. I'll always have that. And you know what I mean?
Nate, that is a fantastic thought right there. Yes.
You know,
I have no idea why they can't go. Well, let's just throw Pocono out for a second. All right. There is no reason they can't go back to Michigan because Penske owns it.
Hold on.
You can't say this.
No, he doesn't own. I don't think he owns it now.
He does. He still
Michigan?
Owns
MIS. He owns MIS.
He owns MIS. Yeah.
Hold on. You can't advocate for another speedway on the calendar, but yet say that we can't go back to tracks like Texas. Because Michigan is just as dangerous as Texas.
I disagree too.
What about Homestead?
Homestead, I like.
Homestead is where the finale should be. Nate and I have talked about this many a time.
Okay, so why is Texas dangerous, but MIS isn't?
When they first went there, guys were blacking out.
Michigan is the steepest banking on all calendars.
Yeah, but Christian, in the kart days, I mean, we're talking guys.
I understand the kart 40 days, miles but an we're hour. Not going the speeds of kart through the corners.
Yeah, but when they went to Texas, okay, when they went to Texas, they were in the present cars. Okay, this generation of the Lars, and guys were blacking out. Literally blacking out from the G-forces.
That is true.
And, I mean, it's a fantastic track, and it had put on some great races, but every lap, you were sitting there, like, praying that somebody didn't put it into the fence.
Okay, so then...
And there was some hellacious crashes there.
Okay, so then, all right, then I guess take Texas out of it. Would you
That's why you took out Pocono.
What the only reason God rest his soul, but Justin Wilson's unfortunate accident there had nothing to do with people not going back to Pocono. Zero. That was just a freak accident. Okay, was it
Wilson? No,
it
wasn't.
Yeah,
Wilson.
It was more Robert Wickens.
It was Robert Wickens. Wilson's accident was at Vegas.
No, Wilson's accident.
No. Okay. That's Weldon.
Weldon was at
my bad.
Yeah. Weldon was at
Vegas.
Yeah. Vegas. And Greg Moore's was at Fontana. Now Fontana, people will go, oh, that track's like, I go, that track was just as fast as Texas. If not faster.
I know, okay. The fastest qualifying.
It's just Jill DeVere. But like at Michigan, for whatever reason, at Michigan, they never had like a super massive bad crash.
Yeah, but that that doesn't.
They had a start one race.
Okay, what? But just because they haven't had an accident at a track doesn't excuse the track from being dangerous.
No.
You could make that argument for any of these tracks. I mean, honestly, Road America is probably the most dangerous track on the calendar right now just because of the kink alone.
Yeah.
Let's talk about an IMSA race where a guy lost the brakes and went at the end of the front straightaway and went up and out of the ballpark.
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember seeing that.
It's not funny, but
anyways, to my point, it is motorsports. There's danger associated with any track you go to.
Texas out of it, that's
a concern. But I mean, really, I have no problem going back to Mission, back to Pocono. If they had Fontana, I'd go back there. I think that would be great shows. I mean, I'm looking at the calendar. There is no other event on this IndyCar calendar that comes even close to the Indy 500. And I'm not saying that anything there is nothing to that distance makes it a big race to draw me in.
I disagree.
Which one?
There's two races.
What?
I disagree. There's the Indy 500 and the other race that has got prestige on the calendar is Long Beach.
True. That's been around for a while. I mean, it used to be on the F1 calendar.
Okay.
So let's just flip the narrative here. What makes would the season finale be better with a doubleheader in Milwaukee than going to Laguna? I like Laguna, but if that's going to be my championship deciding race, no way. Thank you.
No, but you almost turn it into a championship deciding weekend. Now you have two races and
right. That's my thing.
That'll be really interesting. I think.
I'm going to tell you what happens to Laguna. Like, I know they don't do bump and run in IndyCar, but there's going to be bump. Everyone bumps and runs at Laguna. Okay? Somebody's going to dive bomb going into the last corner
on the restart. Dive bomb the accordion effect.
Somebody's going to dive bomb going into the Andretti hairpin at the end of the front straightaway. And then they're going to fight all the way through the infield, back and forth, knocking each other around until they go up over the hill to the bridge. And then somebody is going to try and do a Zanardi, but there's going to have no talent. And there's like Devlin DeFrancesco is going to put it into somebody.
So I would agree with you that Milwaukee should be the finale, but I'm
in the present format.
No, I say no to that only because of the lack of ovals on the calendar. If there was more ovals on the front end of the calendar, sure, but
like even split,
it doesn't have to be exactly even split, but like maybe one more oval. I love the fact that Phoenix is the second race of the season, and it's the first oval because it's an oval before we even get to Indy because this year year before Indy was the first oval, and I don't like the fact that we've done an oval heavy second half of the season, and even though like I think Nashville was a good season finale at the oval, it stunk that you couldn't. The field be switched up because it's an oval and there's teams that do well on an oval, give them, you know, a say to try and drag out the season a little bit longer because you have more variety in the first part of the season.
Just think of it this way. Had Phoenix happened last year, Penske would have got caught and thrown out of Phoenix, not Indianapolis, so.
Sean. Shots fired.
Just saying. Shots fired.
I like it. It's true.
All right, so let's just talk.
Well, maybe not. They have a different downforce setup. I think at Phoenix versus
but I think it's all about that. They were doing it to trim out the back of the car, Nate. That's why they were doing that.
Okay.
When they sealed that crack in the back, that's what they were doing.
If you get caught, shame on you. But if you're not trying to cheat in motorsports, you're not trying to win. So
right, but the thing with them is, the guy who owns the series, they have control over the tech crew, so that's why it wasn't so. That's why this has gone on for two or three years. It's not kosher. All right,
I understand.
I loved Roger Penske back in the day. I don't like Roger Penske. I don't like Penske Racing right now because I am not a Newgarden fan, nor am I. I'm not a big Scotty Mac fan. He's cute, but I'm not a Scotty Mac fan. I'm a big Will Power fan.
And you know, like I said before, all this happened at the end.
I think Newgarden's a big weak link too. I will be more than happy if there is, because somebody hasn't been announced at AJ Foyt that's supposed to have been. If Rinus VK ends up at Penske, look out.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
No, my money's on David Malukas, though. That's true. He's already at AJ Foyt. He's showing.
He can show well
with Penske setups. What do you mean? He almost there was a couple of races
Santino
he could have won.
The same Santino does. No, the
he
same
doesn't.
Thing.
No, he doesn't. Santino does his own setup. He ignores all the Penske setups and does his own crap.
You know what's funny about this conversation? We're gonna have this whole discussion, and then tomorrow they're going to announce news of where everyone's going.
Usually how it goes.
It's going to be Devlin DeFrancesco signs for Roger Penske.
Give me a break. The highest he'll ever go near Penske is AJ Foyt. Okay. And I'm going to say he'll right. be the guy so, only bringing money.
So my guy, Zach, came out with a thing lately. He's been talking about, you know, because Zach's a master of marketing and stuff.
Master and Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. We're still living on that. $3,500. He's turned into like, you know, he's like, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I could care less. I can't stand that guy. I really started to like him, and then I really started hating him because he's just, you know what? I really like the fact that Max actually despises that guy. It's even better. And we got to get to Max in a minute here. The one thing is, so if you look at this, like Christian said, I mean, maybe some other tracks like Michigan, Pocono. Now, there's this big clamor to put a track in the Northeast. Okay. All right, Nate, as much as you would love to see them come back to New Hampshire, I would prefer that they go to Watkins Glen.
No, I totally get it. I totally get that.
How do you make that race happen so that you draw the biggest crowd, Christian?
I wasn't going to say that. You have a support series.
Well, or
another MX5?
Professional series.
No. Or another professional series. Okay, all right. Yeah. You know.
So why can't you put IndyCar and the 6 Hours of Watkins Glen on the same weekend?
Do you not think it would kind of take away from the 6 hour prestige?
Nope. Put the 6 hour on Saturday. Okay. IndyCar comes in. They run practice on Friday. They run practice and qualifying Saturday. They're out of everybody's hair. And IMSA runs the 6 hour starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The only thing that's going to happen is IMSA can't bring 32 support series to the race. That's the only thing. So something's got to go. It'd probably be Michelin Pilot Challenge. And probably... Bring the Mazda.
No. I'd still bring Michelin
Pilot. Pilot Challenge and run on Friday?
I'd still bring Pilot Challenge, but you would get rid of, you know, Mustang Challenge and maybe the Mazdas.
Nah, I keep the Mazdas because the Mazdas put on your race.
IndyCar and the 6 hours would be cool.
But it's been Mazda, Lamborghini, and Mustang, or Lamborghini, Porsche. So get rid of two of those.
But even more, here's the other thing too, right? Yeah, Watkins Glen, but then it's like you're almost putting too much at this point, because like we've gone to the 6 hour race. There's been Super Trofeo. There's been the MX5.
No, that's what I'm saying. You got to take some of the support races out. So what Christian's saying is.
It's hard to take that. That's really great.
No. Kind of yeah, no, it's fine. But what you do is you put the Mazdas in Michelin Challenge and IMSA, and then you bring back the Fords and the Lamborghinis, and you go, yeah, you guys can go run with NASCAR on the NASCAR weekend. They used to do that because I was there. We ran a Firehawk endurance race, and then we ran a NASCAR race, and then it was also an IMSA GTP race the same weekend.
An MX-5 race on the cup layout might actually be fun.
Yep, 100%. Ooh. Right. No, so you could do something like that. Anyways, I'm just saying, but as much as you'd like to come to New Hampshire, six people are still going to show up. And of that six, these three idiots on this podcast are three of the idiots that would show up at that.
Oh, I'm there. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Right.
When I went, look. When I went in 2011, I saw Joseph Newgarden win Indy Lights.
I get it.
I'm not going to say Indy next.
You also saw Will Power give the finger to everybody.
Yeah, double.
Yeah, middle finger. Not just one, two.
Yeah,
double.
I also protest to this day that Oil Service actually won that race, not RHR.
Yeah, that's fine, Nate. And as you looked around the grandstands, how many people were there?
It was pretty spread out.
I think that's what.
No, I know. Okay, but I don't think
that's the problem. Okay, that's the problem. New England is not. I mean, people go, oh, we should have a race here. I don't care if they ever thought about that race going on in Boston. The only people that were going to show up was like whoever were like, you know, the companies downtown there in the seaport who, you know, all the wanks that, you know, got all the there's no racing fans are going to show up to that, and they're not going to sell tickets. I mean, they're just not. 90% of those tickets would have all been comped. I mean, that was just dumb.
All right,
let's move on.
Talked enough IndyCar.
Well, it was good. That was very good. I would much rather talk this than talk, you know, NASCAR and stage racing, but anyways.
We need to discuss France Harmon.
France Harmon.
Oh,
He's now licensed.
And Nürburgring, right?
He is licensed now. But
yeah.
You know,
I'm so proud of him. God.
I am too. The fact that he just put his ego aside
in the middle of an F1 season.
In the middle of an F1 season. No. Just hear me out. And he went and they said, okay, now you got to go. You got to play. You got to do lead and follow. Like, this is like basic. Nate, you know this. And Christian, you know this from doing your lapping day.
Yeah.
Is that a second place joke? Or
No. When you went to driver's school.
I know.
No.
If it was only targeted at you, it would have been a second place joke.
Nate, when you do lead and follow, there's no finish in second place. When it actually gets to race day, you're missed the second place.
Yeah, I try my best.
Can't believe we're done.
Anyway, lead and follow.
The fact that he actually just sucked it up and did that for four laps.
Yeah.
And then went out and just did whatever he had to do on Saturday. You know, I give the guy props. Absolute props. And he didn't complain about it, didn't do anything. He just came, did it, and that's it. And now he's gonna show up in 2 weeks and the place is gonna be banged out. And the sad part is I hope some of these factory GT guys realize what they're going up against. Because I really don't think they do.
They probably have an idea, right? I mean,
well,
they probably watch F1, right, Sean? I mean, just to guess.
But that's F1. But this is a guy that can drive a GT car.
Oh yeah, because what? How many hours does he have on iRacing? He's like on there all the freaking time. He brings his setups anywhere he goes.
Nate, he showed up there and went ultimately quicker than these guys have gone.
All right, two
in
two
a GT3 Ferrari.
Maybe three things. First thing, put his ego aside. I don't buy it. This is something he's said he wants to do.
Oh yeah.
And I think he's. Max is just someone who will do it because he wants to do it.
Right.
And it's 100%. And it's the procedure. And, you know, that's it is what it is.
Yep.
So he's just going to do it. Put ego. 100% if he. Not just Max. If any driver complained about doing it, immediately they're someone that thinks that they're above any of it. Which that's really the only time I would bring up anything like that, because he didn't bring up any of it. That's not even a concern to me, or impressive to me, because like he's doing what he should be doing. So and that's that. End of story. Second bit. He definitely has talent. The only asterisk with. with sports car racing is the BOP. So.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
If
I see what you're doing.
If Max wins the race on his first try, it's not BOP related. Like if he genuinely does it, the excuse there is still going to be, well, he only did it because of the BOP was in his favor.
Right. Gotcha.
You're never going to escape that.
You're 100%
so,
right. Not wrong. As long as you have right. BOP, you're 100% right, Chris.
So they're
okay.
It's,
all right, go to the third point.
Anyways, I lost what my point. Third one was going to be. Wasn't there. Anyways, we'll just.
I am looking forward to Franz Hermann returning to the Nürburgring. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. If anyone's shocked about a move like this, he's talked about doing this.
Yep.
So
question looking to the future. Granted, this year he is going to be, Christian, he'll be in a Ferrari. Is that correct?
For?
An Aston.
For what?
For the next Nürburgring race.
Oh, I think it's likely going to be in his Ferrari. Yeah.
Yep. And then with Emil Ferrari Racing. I mean, he has done it with an Aston too, so I do know that's been around. So next year with Ford power plants, does that mean he'll be in a Ford GT, Mustang GT?
He might very well be. I mean,
Just throwing that out there.
He did drive a dark horse version with
Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right. I wouldn't be shocked, but also I mean he's got a Ferrari and an Aston.
Probably a Porsche floating around too.
Yeah, I think he's got a Porsche and he might have a BMW. I don't think he's gotten his hand on a Mercedes. for obvious reasons at the time.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, we'll if he gets his hands on a Ford, it would make sense because I mean the Aston made sense at the time.
Yeah.
The Ferrari definitely did not make sense. I was actually kind of shocked that he was able to do that, but that's great.
Anyways, well, like I said, looking forward to it. Just before we wrap up the show, I'd like to kind of bring something up from the past, 2005. Nate, taking a shot at NASCAR here. In 2005, NASCAR fans were asked, what broadcasting team did the best job covering the sport? At the time, it was Fox and NBC. Okay? Now pay attention to this, Nate.
I'm listening.
46% of the vote said Fox was number one. Now, that was Mike Joy, DW, and Larry McReynolds. NBC.
Great trio.
I don't know who was on NBC back then.
I could tell you. It was either Alan Bestwick or Bill Lubber, and then 9 times out of 10, it was with Wally Dallenbeck and Benny Parsons.
Okay. All right. Formerly the guys from ESPN, right?
Yep.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, because that's when the coverage switched over. That's right. But we got 46 and 12. That's 58. The remaining 42% said neither compared to the previous ESPN coverage.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's a lot.
I think that's when the tide turned on NASCAR. That was a great stat there I found. Anyway. All right. And on that note.
Hold on.
off the top rope.
This weekend is F1, so we got to do our picks.
Oh, that's right.
See that, Sean? He jumped the start.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic.
I forgot about that.
Just FYI,
the weather,
cloudy on Sunday. Yeah. Very low chance of rain for Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturday, a bit higher chance, but still not quite high. So it'll probably just be cloudy during the week.
Okay.
Friday is a normal sunny day.
Okay.
Anyways, there's your weather report. Make your opinions from there.
I circled back to the ownership of Michigan. Roger Penske has not owned Michigan.
Oh, come on.
Since 1999.
All right.
It was bought by International Speedway Group. NASCAR owns it now.
NASCAR owns it. Doesn't Penske own NASCAR?
IndyCar.
All right. Who's going first?
I can go. McLaren 1-2. Piastri ahead of Norris and Leclerc in third. Dark horse.
Can you re-say that?
McLaren 1-2. Piastri ahead of Norris. Leclerc third.
Okay.
Dark horse. I'm going to go with Sainz.
All right.
Okay. I'll go.
I will. Oh, Nate's going to go.
Right. Because you know what? Max is going to win. I'm only wanting Lando to come in second because I wanted to get interesting with Max in the championship. And I feel between Lando and Max has a more consistent shot at doing it. And he's going to have to rise up on these street courses because we got Singapore after and Las Vegas. And I think those are the only three left I'm thinking of. Anyway, so if Max can do a good job at like win these next races and even the sprint races, it's a tall task, but I think he still has a chance. So anyway, Max winning, Lando second, and Oscar third. And my dark horse will be Isaac Hadjar.
Isaac Hadjar. Nice. All right.
I am going to pick Max as well. I am going to pick Charles Leclerc to finish second. I am going to pick Oscar to finish third. And my dark horse is going to be... Alex Albon.
Nice.
I don't know if we just cursed the podium, but we picked four guys to be on the podium.
Probably.
And probably. Like, and like everyone's like one variation different.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, no, Lewis Hamilton wins his first race and gets his first podium.
I would be fine with Sir Lewis winning. That'd be all right.
Yep. Oh, me too.
No problem. I think
that'd be great. So yeah, there we have it.
Oh, this guy is. I want to. Oh my god.
Oh, you must be watching something good.
No, it's this guy, Peter Clute, that does this legendary car. He used to be on Speed, and he's driving the Interscope 935 from, like, 1980. I want to drive that car. I want to own that car. Anyway, sorry.
At every car guy.
Yep, anyways. Oh! Last thing. Magnus Racing returning to Petit Le Mans.
Fantastic.
We like that.
Not with Andy Lally, because Andy has retired.
Yep.
With
returning John Potter, Spencer Pompelli, and Jan Halen.
Mm. That's very good.
Interesting.
That's exciting.
Did they say which car they're in? Probably in the Aston.
The Aston, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, that's all I got.
All right.
All right.
That's all on my end. Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.